Hello, I'm Austin Wilhite. I'm 18 years old. Before attending Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, our family went to Calvary Church of Placentia from 1996 to 2004. While we attended Calvary, I was taught in Sunday school that in order to be saved, all you had to do was ask Jesus into your heart. I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart at a very early age, and I thought that I would be saved from eternity in hell. When I was 9, God saved me, and I was baptized because I wanted to commit my life to Him. As I got older and studied more, I realized that I still had a lot to learn, and that I didn't know it all. Around the age of 12, God began to show me the doctrines of grace, and that God had predestined me as one of His elect to be called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It took me a while to wrap this truth around my brain. Ephesians 1:4-5 says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will." Our previous church did not believe in God's full sovereignty, so in 2004, we left there and started to look for a church that did believe in God's full sovereignty. In October 2004, we found Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, and we've been attending for almost 6 years now. Music is a big part of my life. Initially, it was a surprise to me that in SGBC, they only played hymns in the worship service. But God revealed to me that music in church should not be a performance, and that it is an important part of glorifying Him in worship. After a while of going to Sovereign Grace, God deepened my understanding that He chose me and predestined me to be saved out of my depravity. God revealed to me that He is my rock and salvation, that no one comes to the Father except through Christ. I know that God has saved me and that it was not because of my own actions. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I believe that we cannot save ourselves, but that God has predestined His elect to be saved by His abounding grace. I believe in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. I'm so glad to be joining this church body, and I look forward to many years of worship and service to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Austin, thank you. And next is a long-time friend of our church and personal friend too that we'd like to have come join. We're glad that she moved here to Ontario from Lake Havasu. So Thella, if you'd come and give your testimony, please.
I grew up in a non-Christian, unchurched family in St. Louis, Missouri, but this was no hindrance to God's wanting me to know of Him. He sent a neighbor to my house to ask my parents if she could take me to Sunday school with her each week. They agreed, and she faithfully took me every Sunday for as long as we lived in that neighborhood. I was 6 years old at that time. I attended this Baptist church, and one day when the pastor gave an altar call, I went forward. I see it now as an emotional response. I don't remember anything being clearly explained to me. The pastor later visited my parents and asked if I could be baptized. My parents refused, but they did let me continue attending the church. Even though my parents were not Christian believers, they still set high expectations of good behavior for my brothers and me. For a long while, I thought if I was good enough and pleased my parents, then God would also be pleased with me. We moved from this neighborhood, and this time the Lord used my 3 girlfriends from school to invite me to their Sunday school class. We had a very godly teacher. Here I started to get a better understanding of spiritual matters. I came to realize I am a sinner, and I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was 12 years old at that time. I regularly attended all the services, was baptized, and joined the church. This was a dispensational teaching church, and much of what I learned had to be corrected later. My being the only one in my family to attend church also changed. My brothers and then my mother started attending, and all made professions of faith. In my senior year at college, I enrolled in a scripture memorization system set forth by the Navigators. The Navigators are a Christian group who at that time ministered mainly to men in the military. It was through their Bible studies on board ship that Joe, my future husband, became a believer. Joe, too, was from St. Louis, and we later met at a Navigator weekend conference in St. Louis. We were married in 1958. We moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where our son Mike was born. When Joe passed his exams to become a registered architect, we moved to the new city of Lake Havasu, anticipating the need for new homes and new buildings. Joe's parents had also moved from St. Louis and were settled in Mesa, Arizona. When we visited them there, we went with them to their church. By God's good grace, this church was Cornerstone Church, pastored by Jim Adams. There we heard the doctrines of grace. Through much study and listening of tapes, Joe eagerly embraced this truth, and he in turn taught me. I now believe God has chosen to show me His mercy, not because of my good intentions or my trying to please Him, but simply because He wills it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In 2007, Joe suddenly became very ill and was taken to the hospital. He was eventually moved to a nursing home in Phoenix. After 4 months of intense suffering, the Lord gave Joe his own personal resurrection into His presence on Easter Sunday, 2008. Easter Sunday has been very significant to me because Joe and I were engaged on Easter Sunday. He went to be with the Lord on Easter Sunday. And the first service I attended here after moving was on Easter. Joe was a very dear husband and also my very best friend. I still miss him, but I have never wished him back here. He is in heaven, where we all desire to be someday. Along with my daily Bible reading, I also read from the book entitled My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. Not long after Joe's passing, I came across the page with the title, This Experience Must Come. And 2 Kings 2:12 was quoted, and he saw him no more. It is a passage about Elijah being taken away. This page was so meaningful to me because Joe was my Elijah. I'm quoting from the book now. It is not wrong to depend upon Elijah as long as God gives him to you. But remember, the time will come when he will have to go. You say, I cannot go on without Elijah. God says, you must. After returning to Lake Havasu City, my aloneness began in earnest. I was faced not only with missing Joe, but having to take on the responsibility of caring for a house, a big house. In going through some of Joe's papers, I found a list with 25 items that needed attention to the house. Joe was an excellent handyman around the house, but before his final illness, he also had a blood disorder which resulted in extreme fatigue. He was able to do minor things around the house, but didn't have the energy to tackle the list I now had. I knew I would eventually have to sell the house and needed to take care of as many repairs as possible before putting it on the market. The first thing I tackled was getting a new roof, and that wasn't very easy, but I did it. The husband of one of my good friends at church asked me one Sunday if there was any job I needed to have done. He felt he should help take care of the orphans and the widows. My mind immediately flashed to my long to-do list. I wasn't sure of how much time he had, so I suggested a small job, replacing the sill under my basement door. He did this very competently and looked around and said, "You need this done, you need that done, and that sure could use some attention." And then he proceeded to work on all these projects that needed to be done around my house. Then another couple from church volunteered to landscape my front yard. They'd had a lot of experience in selling homes, and they also helped me when I had my garage sales. I lost count of the number of garage sales I had, but it was plenty. I just praise the Lord for his faithfulness in taking care of me. While all these repairs were going on, I was busy disposing of Joe's business records and equipment. Then I started downsizing in the upstairs living area. Even though the down economy made it hard to sell property, I put the house up for sale in February of this year, and it sold 2.5 weeks later. This was confirmation to me that the Lord wanted me out here. Mike and Linda, with their amazing energy, took over the job of packing and moving me. A verse Joe and I both liked is Isaiah 41:20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. I wake up each morning anticipating what the hand of the Lord is going to do that day in my life and hoping I can glorify him.
You know, it's a great blessing to have Thelma in the church here. They lived in Lake Havasu, like in the wilderness, literally and spiritually, for a long time. Joe tried to start a church there and had a church for a while, and they met together, but it just never went, you know, it was difficult. But I remember meeting Joe over the phone for the first time, went kind of a roundabout way. Joe was a very good man of God, and he knew the doctrines of grace, and he had gotten a hold of an article written by another friend of mine, Joe Gwynn, who's in Virginia. And Joe Gwynn told him about us out here in Ontario, and Joe Gabriel got a hold of us through that. And a friendship began, a friendship that lasted for the rest of Joe's life and my life, you know, my life to know him, and a precious man, and look up to him very much. And Mike and Linda and the kids are in the church because of that, too. He's the one that directed them over here. So that's God's good grace. In fact, I just talked to Joe Gwynn just the other day. He got a hold of me. He's retired now, an older man, but doing well in the Lord. So thank you, Thelma. Welcome to the church. Our next testimony, it's going to be Todd, and he's going to give a testimony for Todd and you, Monica. So that'll be good. That's always fine to do. And so it'll be a double testimony. So come on up, Todd, if you would, please, and give the testimony for you and Monica.
I just want to start by saying it's an extreme privilege to stand before such a great people. And you're not great because of who you are by yourself. We're a great people because we are the bride of Christ, part of the bride of Christ. And it's an honor to stand here before you and testify what God has done in both my wife's life and my life as well. So I'm going to start by reading our testimony, and then I want to continue on by just giving, sharing some things in my heart about how I found this church and what it means to me. So the testimony is going to be in the third person because it's including my wife and I, and it was the easiest way to converge the testimonies in a short time frame. I have about 10 minutes, right? This was almost impossible for me. I don't know. I'm Puerto Rican. It's my mom's fault. Todd and Monica were born on opposite sides of the country. Bring this closer. Todd was born in the Bronx, New York, on July 20th, 1969. And Monica was born in South El Monte, in June. I don't want to date my wife. You're not supposed to do that. That's what I grew up learning. Throughout their lives, God has allowed these two individuals to experience various trials and tribulations, ranging from racial prejudices all the way to sexual abuses. Many people would look at these types of horrific experiences and hold a bitter and resentful heart towards those who violated them. But we know that God can take the evil that happens in this life to individuals and turn them around for His good purpose. And also, at the end of the day, all of us are guilty in one way or another, for we've all broken God's holy law. The year of 1983 was a very interesting one for Todd. His grandmother, who was at the time the only Christian in the family, flew from California to New York on a two-week vacation during the summer. Todd had just turned 13 years old, and his grandmother was staying at his home. Needless to say, during her stay, the gospel was preached to him for the very first time, even though he had been attending Catholic school for the previous 3 years. His grandmother finally went back to California, but Todd had a million lingering questions in his mind. And these questions would serve as a serious form, and I couldn't think of another word that was adequate except torment, especially as it related to what in the world does this thing called being born again mean? And you know, looking back, not a coincidence. 2 years later, his father, Hector, retired from the New York Police Department, and along with his mother, Nancy, decided to move to California for a new start. We had a lot of family out here. Todd was finally going to get a chance to ask his grandmother all of the questions that were accumulating in his mind. These questions were met with some answers, which led to visiting the church she attended. It was a Calvary Chapel at the time in West Covina, where Pastor Raul Rees presided there. This led to a professed belief and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 16 years old. And a long time passed before I was baptized. I was baptized on September 7th, 2007. That'll make more sense as I go on and tell you guys how we got here. Monica lived a much more difficult and trying life. But God was gracious and sustained her through every difficulty as he does with all of his elect people. The oldest of nine, she was considered the second mother to all of her siblings as she assisted her mother with all of her motherly duties from a very early age. This continued well into her high school years while simultaneously holding a 30-hour-a-week job at the age of 17. Like Todd, Monica was first introduced to the gospel through her grandmother, and during a Bible study she attended, professed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And like Todd, she was baptized on the same day, September 7th, 2007. We met at a common workplace in 1993 and were soon after married on February 19th, 1994. God had ordained this union for His glory and purpose, but over the next 12 years, it became abundantly clear that we didn't really know the Lord all that well. In 2006, the discipline of the Lord visited them. Todd was taken from, his job was taken from him, and as he was laid off due to necessary cutbacks that the company needed to do. All of these things took place 2 months before their third child was to be born and 1 month before their lease was up. So this was a very, very stressful time for us. Todd realized that the full responsibility of this discipline was upon him. It was my fault. He was abundantly aware that as the priest of his home, he bears the responsibilities for the sins of his household, and just couldn't think of any other reason for this discipline other than the fact that his confession didn't line up, not even close, to his life. He was truly a hypocrite. But God was merciful and patient with him and his family. Through the humbling experience of losing his job and having to move back with his parents, with his wife and children, and not being able to find a job for 4 years, the Lord saw it fit to reveal himself during this time in a way that caused falling to the ground, accompanied with true repentance. Things have not been the same for Todd and Monica and their family as they continue to grow in the doctrines of grace that God has revealed to them, who is great and mighty over all. His word is opened up to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel has taken on new meaning in their lives as they can see more clearly the significance of the cross of Christ and the shed blood that was poured out to make atonement for their sins. The scriptures finally make sense to them as all of those apparent contradictions have one by one evaporated. What more can be said other than this? That, but to all who did receive him, who did believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God has been gracious to us. And it's funny how when you hear different testimonies, people come from different backgrounds and have different experiences, and God uses their circumstances to draw his people to him, but it all, at the end, is the same exact story. God is gracious and merciful. God is gracious and merciful. When I moved back in with my parents about 2 months after, approximately, I heard a message from a specific evangelist, and he was challenging the traditions of the day. And the scripture, the center scripture, was the one we all know so well, the Matthew chapter 7. On that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And we all know what that scripture was teaching and talking about. I remember Jeremy giving his testimony here, and I was broken when I was listening to him. A different story, same conclusion, same king, same grace. And that day showed me where the problem was. It was in me. It was in my nature. I thought I was a Christian, but I had no power in my life over sin. And I'm not just talking about I'm not perfect or I'm faltering here and if I confess, God will be faithful. I'm talking about lifestyle. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about lack of self-control. Constantly, my poor wife. And God showed me, this is you. I've read that scripture before. But on this day, the Lord's hand touched me. And I believe I have a very difficult time saying I was saved back then. I'm not doubting God wasn't intervening in my life. But I just have a difficult time. Yes, I was truly saved at 16. I have a hard time with it. And as I was listening to this message, I was literally, well, not literally, but I was paralyzed within myself. Could not move. I listened to this message. I could not move. And the message was done, and the word of God went forth and penetrated my heart, and I was on the floor weeping. And everything just changed from that day. I began to have a thirst for God's word. What does this mean? What does that mean? I wasn't even introduced to the doctrines of grace yet. I just knew that that man in Matthew chapter 7 was me. And I continued to study and I continued to look. And I had a wonderful friend. His name is Timothy. He lives in Texas now. He used to be out here in California. That's how I got to know him. He started to share some of these doctrines with me. And not in a forceful way or anything like that. Just like, hey, have you ever considered this? Or, hey, what does this mean to you? And it was just real casual. It was really neat. And I had disagreed with him on some things based on what I had been programmed, for a better word, or, you know, so I sat under. It was more of an Arminian-type style teaching. I started looking at these scriptures for myself and studying and studying. And, I mean, the thirst, it was just incredible. My wife could tell you, I mean, on the computer, just looking for different resources. I'm doing my devotionals. Then I'm transferring from my devotionals and going into various scriptures. And I'm studying and I'm looking. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. No wonder these scriptures contradicted each other in my mind, and I just thought I wasn't smart enough to understand. And the Bible says that His truth sets us free. And that's when I started to understand. Now I started to understand what the gospel meant. This is not about the doctrines of grace and that's it. This is about what it pertains to, and that is Christ. And to know God is eternal life. To know Him, it's not just getting knowledge so we can be smarter than other people and look what I know and you're wrong. And I mean, it's about knowing Christ. And these are teachings of Him and His grace and how He's to be glorified through our lives. And this is what was happening to me. And at that time, about a year later, I just knew we cannot stay at the church we're going to. It's not because we hate the people. It's not because they're not kind. It's nothing like that. We need to sit under good, solid, biblical teaching. I just wasn't sure how I was going to approach my wife in this way. It was difficult. It took a lot of prayer. I wasn't sure what her reaction was going to be. During this time, the Lord was showing me and teaching me how to truly be a priest in my home and represent Him to my family by watering them with the Word through Bible studies, you know, and opening up discussion and talking about what the Scriptures meant. And it was difficult at first. It was kind of awkward. We haven't done this before. And it's amazing how those Bible studies actually helped me more than even when I'm by myself. By the grace of God, everything went smoothly. She understood what we were talking about. She was still coming to this. We still are learning together to this day. And we started looking for another church. We were relying on the Bible studies to feed us as a family. We just felt we could not continue to go to the church we were at. So we ceased from going. And through prayer and searching, and it wasn't like we were searching every day, you know, but my friend Timothy in Texas, getting back to him, he helped us because he knew the questions to ask and giving me some insight and giving me direction. And this is a church that became a very high possibility for us. And I tried, it's funny, I tried all the other churches first. This was the last one. I came on a specific Sunday morning to a church down the street, was severely disappointed beyond belief. And I said, I got to go to church tonight. I'm going to the evening service over here at Sovereign Grace. And I came as doing, being a forerunner before I start exposing my family to different churches. And I didn't get a chance to hear Pastor Steve or Pastor Jeff preach. There was an individual by the name of Dan Euros. And let me tell you, and I promise 3 minutes more. Let me just tell you what happened. I heard him preach, and I was so blessed. I can't even remember the preaching. And when I walked through, the first people I met was Linda, Debbie, and Jonathan. Linda, Debbie, and I just remember that so clearly. And Jonathan was helping me with some scriptures. He probably don't remember that. But we fellowshiped afterwards. My wife's like, "Why did you come back home so late?" I was like, "Oh, you don't understand. These people know God." I wasn't used to that, you know. Jonathan exchanged numbers with me that day. And I just really loved the church, but, you know, still got to keep coming. And something was going on. I was like, "Man, this Dan Euros, who is this guy?" And then I called Jonathan. "What's that guy's name?" It was later in the week. He was like, "Yeah, Dan Euros." And I'm like, I went on my computer, and I went into a specific file with downloaded preaching from Sermon Audio. And I was like, "I knew it. I've heard this guy before." And I really was blessed by his messages that he was communicating through God's word. To me, that was a semi-confirmation. I had to continue to come. I wanted to hear the pastors preach and hear the word of God. And I just knew that this is our home. Monica wasn't able to come for a few months. She was pregnant with our fourth child. Don't ask me how that happened. God, it's incredible. Pastor Steve, when you visited my wife in the hospital, I can't tell you, I cannot tell you what that did to us, especially the scripture you quoted, because there was something, not so much in her, I don't think, but in me, like, man, you know, I don't have a job, I have three kids already, I'm in my mom's house, and here we are having another baby. I mean, how irresponsible is that? And so I'm feeling really insecure about this. And you comforted us. And I want to thank you for that. And I know I think I've thanked you before, but I want to do it publicly because that's what a pastor does. He does more than just teach God's word. He's a shepherd over the flock. And that was comforting. And we knew that this was our home. We didn't make a commitment right away. I wanted to get my daughter, Felicia, acclimated to the church and sit under the teaching. And it all converged to this day here today. So we thank you very much for being so very responsible, Pastor Jeff, and for every single person here. You have been collectively together the main reasons why we're joining the church today.
I remember the first time you guys came, you know, that sometimes some visitors, you just remember them right away. And certainly I did with Todd because he came in and he was so hungry and he was just talking and talking and talking. And, it was a great thing to see. I thought, well, you know, and talking with Jonathan was a good thing because I knew Jonathan likes to talk and talk and talk. So I figured this is going to work out well, you know, and it did. So thank the Lord for that. Yeah. Well, we have one more testimony, and this one's a little different. One of the things we do, and you might notice, when people come to the church here, we try to make sure that they're a good fit. We want them to know the church, and know the church well. We don't like having a revolving door, people coming in and people going out. We try to avoid that when people join. And the track record is good. If you just check the records for like the last 20 years here, people join and people usually stay. And that's good. But a lot of people come and go that don't join for various reasons. But so we have just a general rule. We like people to be here like 6 months or so, really get to know the church well, get to know the people well, and then join. And then they can really be a part of the ministry. However, when someone comes to Christ and they're a baby Christian, they need a home, and they need a church. And when someone comes to Christ, as they've made a credible profession, they should be baptized, join the church, and the church takes care of the young ones and helps raise them up and train them. And that's the situation we find with Alex, who is blessed to have a great family and a good home himself in his own house, and now a church home, too. We don't know what the Lord's going to do with Alex. He may end up having to move to a new area. The field of work that he has and the internship that he's doing requires a lot of Sunday work. And so that's difficult, you know. But we want him to be a part here. And if the Lord moves him elsewhere, we'll gladly transfer his membership to another place. So that's why we treat converts a little different than those that come from other churches. You come from another church, you got some things to unlearn before you really can join. But when you're a baby Christian, the Lord's teaching you, we want to take that blank slate and teach them the things of the Lord. So, Alex, come and give your testimony, please.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Alex Rainbow, and I stand before you all here, poor in spirit, and rejoicing in what the Lord has done in my life to bring me to this very moment in time. As some of you may know, my parents are Nate and Connie Rainbow. Devout Christians, members of this church, and what a blessing it has been to call them my parents. They raised me in the fundamental truths of Christianity, regularly and sometimes forcefully attending church as a child, but I never had a doubt about the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. However, as I approached my early teenage years, I strayed from the foundation that the Lord had blessed me so much with, and decided to no longer attend church. I felt no apparent need for God in my life, and I really, truly just yearned to pursue my own desires and the empty joys of this sinful world. Needless to say, I was a horribly lost soul, trying to experience this world on my own. And throughout the last decade of my life, I've experienced many trials and tribulations that had progressively weakened my state of being, and all which led me to a point of repentance earlier this March. My trials jump-started back in high school, living a life of selfishness, debauchery, and at the time I thought life could not get any better. I began taking many things for granted. But then I experienced the loss of a close friend of mine, a teammate on the basketball team, in a fatal household accident with a firearm. And I was deeply distraught after his passing. Yet I learned to appreciate life a little more, though I was seeking comfort in all the wrong places. Then I went away to college at San Diego State University and thoroughly enjoyed the freedom from living under my parents' roof. In essence, I lived the crazy college lifestyle that was accompanied by all the sinful ways of this world. After 2 years, my drinking habits started to become out of control. I transferred back to Cal Poly Pomona about 3 years ago in hopes for a change of pace of life. And just months after I transferred, one of my best friends took his own life. And that was a major turning point in my own life. It was the most horrifying reality that I had experienced, and had nowhere to turn but to alcohol and burying my sorrows in drinking on a daily basis. During that time, I experienced problems with my relationships, friendships, distanced myself from family. My health was dwindling, and attended 3 more funerals of my close friends during that time. I was spiraling downward very fast. I was dwelling on my past with very little hope, and everything in this world had seemed to have been failing me. At my lowest point in this life, I began to question my reason for living. And it was at that time when the Lord began to speak in my heart. By the divine regeneration of my spirit, it finally hit me. I was nothing but a lost soul just brought to destruction by this world. And I needed to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And by His grace and mercy, I was brought to a point of sorrow that brought forth repentance for my sins and actively sought a relationship with the Lord. The last 5 months, I've been fervently praying and growing in the knowledge and wisdom of His Word every day. And my life has been renewed to a desire to serve Him in all that I do. It is the Lord that helped me in my state of weakness and strengthened me beyond my imagination while facing the struggles of my past. I have overcome the depths of this world, and my pain and sorrow have been turned into overwhelming peace and joy. He has been using me to impact the lives of many of my peers, encouraging their spiritual walk with the Lord and introducing Him to some, all the while knowing that nothing I do will change lives. It is the power of God that changes lives, and I'm just His humble servant laboring for His good pleasure. I know that God has saved me because my faith and love in Jesus Christ is my strength and reason for being. The Bible tells me that it is through faith that I am justified and through the Spirit that I will be sanctified. I have prayed for the Lord to work to His glory in my life, and He has shown me that strength is found in His desire and not of my own. I have felt the power of the Lord as my desires have drastically changed, and from this point forward I consider myself dead to sin and alive to God. I now have the desire to follow the Lord in baptism and become a member of this church. My desire to be baptized is based upon the scriptural pattern of obedience for a believer in Christ. And what a glorious day of rejoicing this is for me. I look forward to becoming an active member and contributor to this church for as long as the Lord wills me to be here. And Lord, to Thee I give thanks, for You are too good to Your children. Glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. This young man is a great joy. The whole Rainbow family is a great joy. It's an amazing family, you know. It seemed like they surprise me all the time. Hear new things, you know, and it's just incredible. what God has done. But Alex, you're in a good home where you can learn so much. And we as a church will be faithful to your soul too and try to help you. Of course, Nate's dad, longtime Christian, knew Lute Olson. That impresses me tremendously. Lute Olson, basketball coach, former basketball coach, University of Arizona. Mr. Rainbow knew him, and so that was great. John Rainbow, we prayed for a long time. God answered those prayers by taking John home to himself. We were surprised, I was surprised just Wednesday night when Nate brought in a book that I really appreciate. Dave, you know this book well, The Biblical Baptism. Remember that? Yeah. John Rainbow has a chapter in that book. Yeah, he sure does. So take a look at that when you get home. That's an amazing, I didn't know. I guess an article he wrote about 30 years ago, and they put it in the book there. So excellent, you know. And so we just thank the Lord for his goodness and grace there. Alex has a tremendous testimony. I remember him coming into the office and talking about the change in his life, you know. And that change has been holding up. Pray for this young man and encourage this young man. That way we'll be observing his baptism right after the 11 o'clock service.
I'm 15 years old and I've gone to this church all my life. I believe the Lord has saved me. I want to be baptized and join the church. I have been raised in a Christian home. I was homeschooled up until this year. My mom and dad said they've taught what Dad had taught me about God. I have attended Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night since I was a baby in the nursery. My family prays together. My mom always prays with me each night before I go to bed. This year I'm a freshman at JP High School. It's the first time I've spent a lot of time around people my own age who has not come from Christian homes. Wait, what was that? I have found a Christian friend at Chafee, and I thank God for that. I get along good with almost all my teachers. Many of my friends think it's interesting that my dad's a pastor because they are used to priests who can't get married. They also think it's strange that we live at a church. I want to be a good witness and testimony for God at my high school. I know that Jesus died for my sins. He died for all the sins of his people. And I am one of God's children. He chose me before the foundation of the earth. When I was about 8 years old, I was saved. I prayed and asked God to forgive me for my sins. I believe he has, and I want to serve him. I have had many people in this church and in my family that helped me learn more about God. I have many good friends in church. Some I've known almost all my life, and some new friends too. The one thing I really remember was my Sunday school teacher, Mr. Eubanks, saying, "There is nothing on this earth worth dying and going to hell for." That really made me think, and I still think about that. I agree, and I want to serve the Lord and live with him forever. I look forward to being baptized and becoming a member of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for hearing my testimony.